Well, shall we pray then, just for, before we start, shall we pray? O God, we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ indeed did come into the world with the express purpose of saving sinners. We thank you that he left the everlasting glory and became a man, lived amongst us, and died on the cross to bear away his people's sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Thank you that he's risen again for our justification, praying for us now, and will one day come again for us, and heavens will be filled with his glory, and we shall be forever with the Lord and be like unto our Lord Jesus. Meanwhile, we want to live for your glory. We who know you, we want to love you more, we want to serve you better. And we pray that you will help us as a result of our little gathering today to be increased in godliness and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So bless us as we meet now. May your Spirit help us as we look into your word and then pray and then have fellowship together. May your grace be upon us for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I take it that we are all agreed that believers, true believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, want. Let me start again. You can sit here, Samika, if you want to. If you don't want to be up in the front, that's too near the front for you. Okay, right, okay. Okay, you can manage?
Yeah.
Come in, Kim. Right, well, I take it for granted that all of us who are true believers, who have a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that our desire is to live to the glory of God, to please our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the psalmist said, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? You know, what can I do to please the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not only a desire within us. Surely the promise of Scripture is, Ezekiel 36, for example, surely the promise is that the Holy Spirit will come into our lives, regenerate us, and give us a new heart to want to please God. If a man loves me, he will keep my commandments, said the Lord Jesus. God's purpose, Romans 8, is to conform us to the likeness of his Son. That is his ultimate purpose. He wants Christ to be glorified forever. And so we as believers, if we are believers, that is our desire down here. That is our duty. That is our responsibility. Now, I take all that for granted. The question I want to raise is, I think I've raised it with you before, but it's a very important question. And in these just few minutes, I want to speak on this question. What is going to move me to want to do that? What is going to move me to try and serve the Lord better than ever I have before? What's going to make me godly? Well, you won't agree with me, but the motive for many believers is fear. You won't agree with me, but it is a fact. Deep down, there is a fear that somehow something will go wrong. God will do something or something, I don't know how I would describe it, if I don't obey him. There's a kind of grit your teeth and I've got to do it. Now, there are preachers who preach very decidedly in that vein. And I can produce believers here who will tell you how dreadful it is to sit under a ministry where this is the constant theme. I've told you before, and I tell you again, it comes from John Calvin, who said that believers are lazy asses, and they have to be whipped, lashed, it was his word, whipped into obedience by the law. And many people have followed his teaching, and they think the best way they can get Christians to obey is to lay this law upon them, rules and regulations. Now, I dissent from that absolutely. I think that's quite unscriptural. And what I want to do this morning is show you what I think is the true way. Now, I could take scores and scores and scores of passages, But here's one you will know well. I'm putting my Bible down because I want my hands free, but I'm taking it from the Bible. You remember one day the Lord Jesus was invited by a Pharisee called Simon to his house to have a meal. And you remember that Jesus went to this Pharisee's house and he had this meal with the Pharisee. And remember, he was lying, because in those days they lay down when they were eating. They were on couches. And of course he was lying down, and his feet were of course behind him. And you remember what happened? Somebody came into the house who was uninvited. Who came in?
Woman.
A woman came in. But not just an ordinary woman. What do you know about that woman? What does Simon say about her? He said, if this man were a prophet, talking about the Lord Jesus, he would know who that woman was. Now, he described her as a sinner. What did he mean? He meant she was a prostitute. She had a terrible, terrible reputation in that village or whatever. Now, she came behind Jesus when he was eating, and Jesus didn't take any notice of her. You wouldn't think he knew. But what did she begin to do when she stood behind him? She began to... She began to cry. She began to weep. Not just little tears, but they dripped down and they dropped onto his feet. Then she loosed her hair and she began to wipe his feet with her hair. And she did something else too. She poured some perfume, precious ointment, upon his feet. The Pharisee said within himself, he didn't say it out loud, he said it within himself, he said, if this man were a prophet, he would know. Now, Jesus is a prophet, and more than a prophet, and he did know. He knew what Simon was thinking, and he knew what the woman was doing, and he knew what the woman was feeling too. And he said, Simon, I'll tell you a little story. A moneylender lent two men certain sums of money. One man was lent a huge amount. Another was lent not so much, but some, but not very much. But neither of them could pay. They were absolutely bankrupt, penniless. But the moneylender said, I'll forgive you both. We'll wipe the debt clear. Simon, says Jesus, which one do you think would love him the more? Oh, says Simon, of course, the man who owed the most. Of course he would love him more. Yeah, of course, you're dead right. Let me tell you, says Christ, let me tell you something. I came here today and you offered me no water for my feet. You offered me no towel. You didn't put any oil on my head. And this woman has come in and she's washed my feet with her tears. She's wiped my feet with her hair. And she's given all her ointment, precious ointment, wasted on my feet. And this is what he says to her, the whole crowd. Wherefore, I say unto thee, unto Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Now be careful here. It looks, if you read it like that, she's forgiven because she loved much. That doesn't fit with the rest of Scripture, and it's not what Christ is saying. The truth is, on account of the fact that she is forgiven, she shows her love. This is the point that Christ is making. The love is being shown for her forgiveness. For her sense of sin has driven her to weep over the Savior. For to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I think Lily will know this hymn, but I can't remember what the first line is. Love I much, I'm much forgiven, I'm a miracle grace. Love I much, I'm much forgiven. Is not Jesus here giving us the motive and the desire to serve him and to express our love to him? Not out of fear, but out of love for Christ, for what he has done. Don't you see what I'm trying to say here? Mm-hmm. On Sunday morning, we were thinking about that text. Christ has died for his people to make us radiant and spotless without wrinkle. Now, if we thought about that more, what I am in Christ, what Christ has done for me. I mean, Bill chose that hymn. We didn't know he was going to have it. Didn't know he was going to have a hymn to start with. Living, he loved me. Dying, and all the rest of it. He's coming again. He's praying for me now. It's the whole gamut there. If we thought about that a lot more, wouldn't we love the Lord Jesus more? Wouldn't I love him more? Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint. Yet I love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more. So what I'm saying to us, don't go away afraid that God might punish you if you are a believer. Go away thinking of what Christ is and what he's done for you and what he will do for you and what he's going to do in you. That you can turn to him at any time. And I'm confident the more we set our minds upon Christ, the more we shall love him and we shall say, what can I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I don't think that's the only thing we should get. I think we'll get a lot of end of our, a lot of our problems, a lot of our worries and fears and doubts here, the more we look at Christ. But the motive this morning is this what I'm speaking on. The more I see what I owe to Christ, I think the stronger will be my obedience. And that's what I wanted to put before you. Of course, if people have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, they have no clue what forgiveness is, have they? What a dreadful thought that there are men and women about the place, the world, who don't know what it is to have someone to go to and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, of course they have someone they can go to, so they won't go. Oh, taste and see how gracious the Lord is.